Romans chapter 12. The book of Romans chapter 12. It tells us in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, what's the next word? Brethren. So remember, we've been talking about the church is the family of God. And it says here that, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, right? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And he tells us why we should do that, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are dealing with God's will, and we are studying the fact of God's will. And I wanted to do a little review with you. We look at the will of God. We've seen, for instance, it's not working. All right, there we are. The meaning of God's will. And we saw that that means two things. God's sovereign decree or purpose. And God's plan or purpose for individuals. And the scripture tells us that God has a purpose for you. We saw, secondly, the importance of God's will. And we saw that negatively and positively. Negatively, because so many people ignore God's will, they misunderstand how we go about finding God's will, how people have rejected God's will. They know what God wants. I mean, think about it. How much of it, of your life, you just didn't know that you do wrong. So much that we do is not because of ignorance, but because of just rebellion. And so that is a tragedy. Yet, sometimes people do abuse this expression of the will of God. I think God's will for me is to condone a lot of wrong activity. Now, positively, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, we saw that if we do God's will, it will make us wise. Now, Pastor Nathan's been going over wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it should be the goal of every Christian life. We're told in Colossians 4:12 that Paul mentions that Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. It helps us in our prayer. We're told in that this is the confidence that we have in Him. First John says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, again, I'm stating the obvious. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And God created us for this purpose. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. This is Revelation 4:11. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, or the same word that's translated will in our Bible, for Thy pleasure, for Thy will, they were, are, and were created. That's why God made you. So this is important. This is why we have spent some months over this. Thirdly, how to determine God's will in our lives. Now, we mentioned that God's will on many matters is clearly taught in the Bible. So if you want to know what God wants, just go to your Bible. I always think about Lester Roloff, who said, you know, a lot of people want to rewrite their Bible. He said, what they need to do is reread their Bible. And the fact is, we ought to make it a point to do what God says. And of course, there's many specific verses in the Bible that tell us this is the will of God. For instance, 1 Thessalonians, that even your sanctification, that you should abstain from what? Anybody know? Fornication. The attitude that our society has towards sex is totally out of God's will. And God's will is taught in many matters, and yet we also saw that God's will on many matters is governed by Bible principles. And it's important that we understand what a principle is, and we talked about that. So biblical principles, there are nine of them. And I'm not going to go over these nine with you, but there were nine principles. There's the principle of faith. There's the principle of personal harm. There's the principle of addiction. There's the principle of the stumbling block, the principle of being a godly witness, the principle of God's glory, the principle of God's presence, the principle of Christ's example, the principle of readiness. So we looked at those and we see that, you know, not everything that when we're considering Christian conduct is necessarily spelled out to us in the Bible. The Bible does not state, thou shalt not use the internet. But there are principles regarding our, in the Bible that will help us to regulate how we use the internet. So, there are these biblical principles. Number four, we talked about the characteristics of Christians doing God's will. They know that Jesus is true. If any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine. Jesus said in John 7:17. They are endeared to Jesus. They came and said, you know, your mother and brother are outside Jesus. And he said, well, he looked at the crowd and said that he who would do the will of the Father, the same is my mother and my brother. All right. We see that those who are saved, I mean, of course, they seek to do God's will. Unsaved people may try to do better, but saved people try to live for God. And not everyone that saith unto me, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, it doesn't mean you work for your salvation, but that is a result of salvation. We are his workmanship unto Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. And it's important that we understand that these are some characteristics of Christians doing God's will. And then the last time we met, seemed like forever when we've gone over the will of God, we looked at the fact, the will of God regarding the believer's salvation. And this is really wonderful because God has a will about your salvation. Now, he would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Peter tells us that he is not willing, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this nonsense that says that people are chosen to go to hell, that is unbiblical. Now, the scripture tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, that all would come to repentance. But after we're saved, we showed you five things that a person who is saved, God's will is that they be predestined to adoption. And we're told in the book of Romans that God would have us all to be adopted and to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're told that that it's according to the good pleasure of His will, Ephesians 1:5. We'll receive an inheritance, Ephesians 1:11, after the counsel of His own will. We will have everlasting life. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. So the Bible says if you're saved, guess what? It's His will to follow through. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And we understand that. Now, they were not of us. 1 John tells us that they were not of us, for if they'd have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us to make manifest they were not at all of us. And those who do endure to the end will be saved, but it's because that's the characteristic of somebody who is saved. He will have begun this good work, will perform it. And you'll never be lost. John 6:40, and this is the Father's will. Now just listen to this. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. In Galatians 1:4, it's God's will that he would deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God his Father. See, all of these speak of the will of God. All right, so tonight, just want to spend a little bit of time with you because I'm trying to get toward this angle of Scripture which tells us how do you know how what is God's will in your vocation? How can I know it's God's will for me to marry this person, to do this job, to do a lot of different things? But what we do find in Scripture, and I want to give Bible examples of those who followed God's will, and I'm specifically dealing with New Testament verses, though one of these people are going to be Old Testament. Number one, who followed God's will? Jesus. Think about this. Jesus was passionate about the Father's will. Now, we're going to see when we look at the death of Christ. Christ was in the Garden of Eden, right? Garden of Gethsemane. He was there too, but not the account I'm talking about. But the Scripture tells us that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter and James and John, he brought with him and said to them, I want you to stay here and pray, and I'll be back. So Jesus goes off alone. And this is really a very complex truth in the Scripture. Here's Jesus, God the Son, 100% God, 100% man, and yet as 100% God, he as 100% man says to the Father, if there be any way that I could accomplish your purpose without going through this crucifixion, would you? Is that possible? Now, this is a very deep subject because he was struggling in the flesh. You know, it's one thing to have somebody beat you up. It's another thing to know for years and months and up to the day when they're going to beat you up. And to have them do this to you, mistreat you, and of course in the case of Jesus, as we'll see Sunday, he had been beaten, and it says that they buffeted him, they took their fists, they took the nails, and they put it in him, and his feet, and his in his hands. The crucifixion, you died of not being able to breathe. And so he was on the cross suffering. But before he did so, he said, "Now, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." And it says in Matthew 26, verse 42, that it tells us he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it." And notice what he says, "Thy will be done." Now, what an example for us to recognize. Sometimes there are things that are going on in our life, and there's trials, and there's problems that we have, and sometimes we just say, "I don't want to have this circumstance in my life." But to finally consent to God, "God, you know what's best. Your will be done." And that's very complicated sometimes, because we can sometimes think, how can that be God's will? And we don't always understand what God is going to be doing. But we should always be praying, "God, I want your will. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." What is the next thing? So we do see thy will needs to be done. And we'll probably deal with this whole idea of how to pursue God's will in our prayers. But one of the things that I try to do on a daily basis is to ask God, "Lord, help me to accept your will, to seek your will, to know your will, to do your will." Now, just think about those four things I just said. I say this almost every day, and so it's so easy to just run by those real quick, but to really get to the point where we say, "God, I need you to help me to accept your will." So he submitted to the Father's will, even in trials. Number two, he considered it his food. How many of you ate today? All right. So when you ate, why did you do that? I mean, what a waste of time. You know, why do you take time out of your schedule to have food? Well, that's a dumb question, you might say, because I hunger for it. Jesus said that if you would hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. He tells us that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And Jesus, just as you hunger for food, just as you want to breathe, obviously the perfect Son of God, he wanted to do the Father's will. Son, 12 years old, remember? Why are you here in Jerusalem? Everybody's taken off. You know, I suppose, you know, this could happen. You know, I've known of families who've left church and said, "You know, I think we left one of them at church." And have to go back and get them. You know, "Son, what have you been doing?" He said, "Don't you know? Are you blinded?" And he said this in respect and love for his parents, that "I am going about to do my Father's purpose." So he considered it his food. Thirdly, he sought it. He sought it. John chapter 5, verse 30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's whose will I seek. I seek that. And you could see that even on the cross, in his full humanity, even though he was the Son of God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, he is asking this question, understanding that he knew the answer to that, but sometimes we ask the question, why? And you say, well, you should never ask a question, why? God's in control. Yeah, but you're not. You're going to have to realize that you're human, and sometimes you wonder, why? Why is this happening? And Jesus sought the will. Now, we understand, and let me just kind of put a little bit of context between how could the second person of the Trinity have to submit to the first person of the Trinity. Because in Philippians chapter 2, it tells us that he, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no, you know the words, reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So in other words, it's kind of like, you know, I always used to illustrate this. You know, sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen. I still tease Matthew about this, but sometime when he was little, we'd wrestle. And I'd say, you know, I'm beating you up. And then I'd have him get on top. And I'd say, he's beating me up. And now when I do that with him, he's always beating me up. But the fact is that, you know, what was going on there? Well, yeah, I can submit myself to his beating me up, even though he was just a little boy. Well, Jesus Christ submitted himself to human frailty. And he humbled himself, and he basically willingly submitted to those people to kill him. The scripture tells us that it was his purpose. He says in John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So he, you know, this is what he lived for. To do whatever the Father said. Now, if we were perfect, I suppose we could say, well, we do that all the time, but we struggle in this. Our flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. But our purpose should be His purpose. What is the meaning of God's will? His sovereign purpose. And if my purpose is His purpose, then, as we saw, there's great benefits for that. And then finally, number 5, he came to do the Father's will. That's why he came to this earth. Hebrews 10, verse 7 says that, I come to do thy will, O God. And that is a prophetical verse for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, who followed God's will? Jesus did. Number 2, we see that David did. Now, I only have one verse that we see in the New Testament, but it's a very revealing verse. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it states, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them, talking about King Saul, he removed him, raised up David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And David had a heart that wanted to obey God. And when he didn't, a classic case is when he fell into sin with Bathsheba. We went through this passage in Psalm 51 some time ago, and we looked at the fact that it broke him. It destroyed his whole heart. And it's one thing to do wrong, but to do wrong and feel good about it? Something wacky about that. Something wrong about that. And there is the fact that David was a man after God's own heart, which fulfilled his will. And then thirdly, we should not be surprised to see that Paul did God's will. And we're told that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 10, he said he made requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, he was well aware of the fact that he could, something could happen that would prevent him from getting to Rome. But he was basically saying, I'm doing this to follow God's will. And doesn't it tell us in the book of James that boast not of thyself of the morrow? Why? Because you don't know what a day may bring forth. And James chapter 4 says, what you ought to say, if the Lord will, I'll do this or do that. And sometimes, you know, we get our planners out and we plan and we know we're going to do this. And, you know, and we should plan. You know, we have a calendar, for instance, that we put out at the beginning of the year. So we have this calendar, and yet sometimes things come up that may have to change that, or at least would throw a wrench in the whole schedule. You say, well, you shouldn't have a schedule. No, I think it's good to plan. You wouldn't believe how much I'd forget if I didn't have it in the calendar. And yet, sometimes it's not the Lord's will for something to happen. You know, we could die, right? We could be sick, or some tragedy could happen. Or maybe someone would give you $1 million. That'd be a nice twist. Now, here's the thing. Paul says, I'm not going to do this except it be by the will of God. And then he also mentions in Romans 15:22. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed. So we do see that there are some examples for us to follow, that we should really seek to do God's will and to live for the Lord. I was just thinking about planning and God's will and back in December of 1982, I was planning our wedding. And I said to my wife, I said, yeah, 6 months we're going to get married if it's the Lord's will. She said, well, wait a minute. You know, don't you think it's God's will for us? Well, I think it is God's will, but who knows what could happen between now and then. We need to just trust in a sovereign God. He is the one who is in control. And we need to do all that we can do to glorify the Lord. Now, Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study this very important subject of your will. Give us strength, give us understanding. Help us, Lord, to accept those things that we do not like, and help us to be truly and genuinely driven that your will would be our very food. And as the heart panteth after the water brook, let our souls pant after thee. Guide and direct us for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, we are going to take some prayer requests and pray.